Amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well. And what a blessing it has already been just being in the house of the Lord. And from going to last night, I was here and all the snow and coming down and the parking lot was filled with snow, not knowing just who would be able to make it in this morning, to being able to see all the music, stayed on track, and then all the people here this morning, just a tremendous blessing that God has given us to assemble ourselves together here this morning, and so we thank him for that. If you have your Bibles tonight, if you look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 8, Luke in chapter 8, we're going to be reading verse 16 down to verse 18, Luke in chapter 8. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. If you have a study Bible, you'd probably see that this is noted as being the parable of the lighted candle, a parable of the lighted candle. There's three verses here, and actually each verse gives us a biblical principle, and I believe all three of them are related, and we're going to be preaching on this morning. But here in Luke chapter 8, verse 16, the Bible says, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you once again today, and what a blessing it has already been just being in the house of the Lord. Thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for how you've worked through the congregational singing and then the special music just to speak to our hearts, and what a blessing. Now as we've opened up the precious holy word that you have preserved for us, I pray, God, that you would help each and everyone here to put away anything in their hearts or minds that would hinder them from hearing and applying your message to them today. I pray, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. The parable of the lighted candle. Three verses here. In the first verse, it says, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, they which enter in may see the light." As we look here in that first biblical principle, it would be a lit candle is expected to give light. A lighted candle is expected. Now, if we go back to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14 on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told the disciples, "Ye are the light of the world." And as God has given us that light, there is an expectation for us to let that light shine before men. In verse 17, the second of these three principles given as the parable of the lighted candle, he says, "For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad." This is helping us to see that in time, all things will be known, because light reveals. Light reveals. And then the third thing, in verse 18, it says, "Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." And we find here the principle is making sure you're listening to truth. For God will judge according to his truth. Satan's here to try to deceive us. Religion sometimes can deceive humanity. And we have to make sure what we're listening to is truth. I've often said that if you're not hearing the truth, you're more apt to believe a lie. And so we have to make sure that we are hearing truth. God is truth. The very words that we look to in this Bible are truth. We need to make sure that we're attending a church that's preaching and teaching the Bible, which is truth. So we have these three different principles, and I don't have all day to preach all three of them, but I do want to focus on the middle. I want to focus on verse 17. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest. Nothing is secret that shall not be revealed in time, basically. First of all, we find here, and just very briefly, that man has no secrets that God does not know about. Can I tell you that everyone here, you probably have secrets that you don't think anybody knows about. More than likely, you have secrets from your spouse. You might have secrets from your children. You might have secrets from your parents. You might have secrets that you're holding, trying to keep them from being revealed to friends and family, whatever it might be. Everyone, if you will, has some kinds of secrets. We preached a little bit this morning and understand that all of us have sin that so easily besets us. And no one wants to tell everyone else their sin that so easily besets them. And so you hold on to that as a secret. But can I tell you that no man has any secrets that God does not know about? Let me just read to you what the book of Ezekiel, and Ezekiel the prophet here, he says this, and God is as being led by the Spirit of God to write, we can receive this. And Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 5, it says this, "And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, Speak, thus saith the Lord, thus have ye said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them." Now, if you knew what was going on in the minds of other people, then there would never be a secret. And praise God that nobody can know what's going on inside of our minds. That's a blessing that you need to thank God for, amen? But the idea there is, even though it might be a secret from somebody else, from another individual, it's not a secret from God. As we tried to hide things from God, it will only make things worse. As we try to live as though God does not know about what's going on in our lives, then we will deceive ourselves and we will continue to do things that are not pleasing in His sight. And so every man, we need to understand here that there are no secrets with God. God knows the very thoughts of your mind. He knows the very intents of the heart. God deals with us concerning what He knows that's inside of us. Now, that's a blessing if you're wanting the blessings of God, because some people will say, well, I don't know how to pray, preacher, and can you help me? Well, the idea there is God already knows your heart. Now, He would have you to pray. He wants you to hear your own prayers. When you know how you pray and how you talk to God, it'll tell you much about yourself. God already knows what's going on inside of you. He knows what's going on inside of your heart. He knows what's going on inside of your mind. There's nothing hid from God. And we need to realize that. And so instead of trying to hide something from God that He already knows about, we just need to look to God. When we go to Him and confess it and forsake it and ask God, what would you have me do about this sin that possibly the one that so easily besets us? No secrets. God already knows them. Don't try to keep anything from God. Just talk to God knowing that He knows. Yeah. He knows you better than you know yourself. Yeah. I use that all the time when I'm in my prayer closet. God, you know me better than I know myself. Help me to know me the way you know me. I don't always know why I do what I do. I don't always know why I feel the way I feel. I don't always know why I'm thinking the way I'm thinking. And when I know that God knows me better than myself, I can go to the Lord and say, God, you know me better. You know the secrets. You know my mind. You know my heart. God, help me to know me as you know me. So I might know how you would have me to respond to it. There's no secrets. However, the second part of that, God has secrets that continue to be revealed to mankind. And in time, all things will be made known. You might not know them right now, but the Bible says nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest. All of God's thoughts, all of God's reasonings, why God allows this and why God allowed that, and all of the thoughts, all the things that we might not know today, we are assured that they will be made known. There were mysteries, which in definition could be said secrets, in the Old Testament that have been made, that have been revealed in the New Testament church age. In the book of Ephesians, I'm just going to share you with this biblical principle here, this biblical truth. In Ephesians in chapter 3, we know this because of the Old Testament. There was things that God kept a mystery to Old Testament saints. They were to focus on what God revealed to them. What did God reveal to them? The law. And they were to live by the law. And God kept secret some things. Paul reveals this to us in Ephesians in chapter 3. The Bible says in verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward." Old Testament saints were not aware of the dispensation of grace extended to the Gentiles. "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery," or the secret, "as I have wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mysteries of Christ," things that were not made revealed or made clear in the Old Testament, "which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body." They did not understand that in the Old Testament. "And partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, whom am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." You see, in the Old Testament, they were somewhat ignorant of this New Testament church age. The Jews in the Old Testament believed when the Messiah came, he would lead them directly into world dominance, and he would be the leader that would give them this rule. And they looked from the Old Testament to the millennial reign of Christ. That's why that they didn't understand when Jesus came and he did not lead them, but he actually went to the cross and he became a sacrificial lamb. They were somewhat confused because they denied that. They said this could not be the Messiah because he is actually being crucified. He is not leading us to this world power, this dominance, because they were ignorant of this New Testament church age. It was a mystery or a secret that God had throughout the entire Old Testament. But in the fullness of time, God revealed it. That's the DNA of God. That's what we're looking at in this parable here, that in time all things will be made known. There's also New Testament secrets. There are things that God knows that we do not know. In the book of 2 Corinthians, again, I'm laying the foundation here for what I want to present to you. This is just part of it. But in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, so come on, follow with me here, stay with me. In chapter 12 and verse 4, as the Apostle Paul, he viewed things that no other man has ever viewed. He was taken up into the third heaven, which would be the abode of God. God does not live in outer space. That would be the second heaven or the second atmosphere. The first atmosphere would be the atmosphere of this earth. But God lives in an abode which the Bible calls a third heaven. It's not the same air that we breathe here. It does not have the sun that we have in this heaven. Does not have the moon. The Bible tells in the book of Revelation that Jesus Christ becomes the light. He takes the place of the sun, and he is in his brightness. It's a different dimension. But Paul was taken up to that abode, the abode of God, the third heaven. And he says here in verse 4, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Paul was taken up to a place of heaven, and he heard things that he could not and never did repeat or write in the Bible, because it was a secret. It was something that God did not have plans for man to know. So we find that is true there in Paul. He said, I heard things that I could not repeat as I come back to earth. In the book of Revelation, chapter 10, verse 4. Let me just read to you here. Revelation 10:4, it says, and when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me. Now John on the Isle of Patmos was given revelation of the future prophecies that we look to. And God has revealed much of prophecy, future prophecies to us. We understand that there's going to be a rapture of the church. And we understand there's going to be a 1,000-year millennial reign. We understand a lot of things about the heaven. It's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, a new atmosphere. We understand a lot because God has revealed it to us. But God has not revealed all to us. And so we find here that John writes, and he says, when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. God says, it's not time for them to know. Wow. So even though man has no secrets from God, God has mysteries or secrets from man. New Testament secrets that in time will be made known. So what do we learn from this? What would God have us to learn? I believe I've just preached to you what the Bible says right there. As we understand those three principles, and all three are somewhat interrelated, but all three are telling us that there's certain things that we cannot know in this life. There's certain things that there's going to be a mystery to us. But at some point in time, God will reveal everything. Because there will be no secrets that will not be made known or manifest. So three quick things. First of all, there are things that we cannot know. There's things that God knows that we cannot fully understand. Things that a finite creation, man was created with limitations. After the fall of man, we have this sinful nature. There are many things that we cannot fully understand. Many things that we cannot comprehend of an infinite creator. God is infinite. We are finite. God has no limitations. We have limitations. So if we understand God and his infinite, understanding that God has all knowledge, God has all wisdom, we would have to understand that I cannot fully understand all that God knows. It's an impossibility. Man does not have the capacity to know all that God knows. In the book of Psalms, in chapter 147, you might be going through something and you're trying to figure out why God? Well, it could be that you couldn't understand it if he told you. In Psalms chapter 147, verse 5, it says this, "Great is our Lord and of a great power. His understanding is infinite, has no limitations." Our understanding, however, at this point in time, is very limited. He says in verse 4, he says, "He telleth the number of the stars, and he calleth them all by their names." And the Bible also says that the stars are innumerable. It's an impossibility for humanity, no matter what kind of devices we have and what kind of technology. The Bible says it's an impossibility for man to know how many stars there is in the sky. I mean, we're in Indiana. We look up and we can see a few stars. In Arizona, you get into the desert and you look up and you think, wow. Certain places you go into the Arctic, and you go around the world and you look up and you think, it would be an impossibility to number the stars in the sky. Well, God already told us that. Man needs to come to that understanding. I think they have that it's an impossibility, no matter what kind of technology we have, to number the stars. But the Bible says that God not only knows the number, but he has given a name to each one. Over my head. I cannot understand that. You know, as a young boy, I remember looking up in the sky. I'd look, laying on the grass looking up, and I'm thinking, you know, they tell me that there's no end to space, but in my mind, there's got to be an end to everything. And so if there is a wall that at some point it ends space, what's on the other side of the wall? Am I the only one that's ever thought about that? It's our mind. We have limitations. We cannot fully understand all things. And the truth of it is, we don't need to understand all things. We just got to come to that place to know that it might be that God doesn't want us to understand it right now. It's not for us to know right now. One day it will all be made clear. One day we'll be able to look back. And I love this analogy. I like the idea of a thousand-word puzzle. A thousand-piece puzzle, whatever you want to call it. But the idea there, if you have one piece and you look at that, you're thinking, well, that doesn't make any sense at all. But then when you take that one piece and you put it in the center of that puzzle, it makes the picture complete. And then you understand why it had to have every little mark on it and how it was related to the overall picture that makes up that puzzle. That's our lives. That's things going on in our lives. You might not be able to understand. It might not be that God wants you to understand it right now. And what you have to do is stop trying to figure it out. And just trust in God. And to know that even though I can't understand it now, I don't have the capacity to understand it now. One day, it'll all be made clear. Yeah. Bible says that God is aware of every sparrow that might fall to the ground. Every sparrow. And then right after that, in Matthew chapter 29 says that in verse 30, he says, he's also aware of every hair on your head. I don't understand that at all. How in the world? But that's God. He has no limitations. So, New Testament secrets. There's things that we cannot know. If you cannot know it, then just mark it up to, I don't need to know it. God will reveal it in time. There are also things that go along with that that we not only cannot know, but we do not need to know, as I just mentioned, even though we want to know. He's not revealed it to us. Have you ever wanted to know something and you just kept on and you kept on and you kept on, and then finally they told you and you said, wish I hadn't have known that. Yeah. Sometimes we would be better off just to say, I don't need to know it. I don't want to know what I don't need to know. As a pastor, I've got to that point. As the church grows and the people come and everyone has issues, all of us have burdens to bear. Every person has issues and we need to deal with those issues. And I want to help as many as I can to help deal with the right issues. But I don't need to know what I don't need to know. If I try to know everything about everybody, my mind would blow. It's a protection for us not to know the things that we do not need to know. There's certain things I cannot know. I just don't have the capacity to really fully understand it. And then there's those things that I just need to turn away from, things I don't need to know. For Old Testament Israel, it was the church age. The prophets, they might have wanted to know, where is all this headed? But God says, you don't need to know. I'm not going to reveal to you the church age. Even those prophets that prophesied about the church age, they did not even realize what it was that they were prophesying about. God says, you don't need to know, just write down what I tell you to write. Oh, how we need to learn from that. How we need to learn from that. For us, look with me at that book of Acts in chapter 1. Acts in chapter 1. This is something that most people want to know. Most believers want to know. When is the rapture going to take place? Can I tell you that every preacher worth his salt for some 2,000 years have believed and preached that the rapture will take place in their lifetime? Amen. Because that's how God wants you to live, without really knowing when the rapture is going to take place. Just live as if it could take place in your lifetime. Wake up every morning thinking it could take place today. That will help you. If they would have known 2,000 years ago that they would have 2,000 years before the rapture, do you think things would have been a little different? Do you think they would have the urgency that they had to win the lost and establish churches and to preach the word? They would not have. So God says, it would be a hindrance for you to know what I don't want you to know. Be a hindrance. That's God's DNA. So we find here in the apostles, before, now this is after Jesus met with them after his resurrection, he met with them for 40 days, instructing them on the New Testament church age, revealing to them things that was a mystery in the Old Testament that they did not have a clue as to what was happening. But he tells them that there would be a rapture. He was going to come back for them. And look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 6, he says, and when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know. Sometimes we just need to hear those words. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. It's not for us to know. But what we do need to know is that God does know. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 4, verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Whatever happens in our lives, whatever we have to deal with, can I tell you that God has a purpose for that? And God knows exactly what is going to take place. Again, that's beyond my comprehension to fully understand how God knows that about every one of us. God is aware of the whole world at the very same time. He's aware of how one decision made in this church could impact the world and eternity. As we have sent missionaries out of this church, can I tell you, God knew that that decision, when that person got saved, how that God was going to call him to the mission field. Now they're on the mission field around the world, if you will, winning the lost and establishing New Testament churches. And God says, I knew. I didn't reveal it. Because if they knew it, they might not have surrendered. But God says, I knew it. There's no secrets. Wow. Yeah, that is a blessing. So there are things that we cannot know. There are things that we do not need to know. And then lastly, there are things that we must know. There are things that we must know. Deuteronomy chapter 29. I want you to see this verse. Powerful verse. Deuteronomy chapter 29. See, I want to know everything that God wants me to know. Can I tell you, I want every blessing that God has for me to receive. You cannot be content, fully content, until you have all that God wants you to have. So God, whatever it is, whatever you want me to have, I want. I want to have all the faith you want me to have. I want to have all the knowledge you want me to have. I want to have all the wisdom you want me to have. I want to have all the blessings that you want me to have. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have all that God has for you. Many times we have not because we ask not. I want everything that God has for me, because I know if I have that, I can be content and I can accomplish what God has me here to accomplish. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, the very last verse. The Bible says, the secret things belongeth unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Wow. Did you get a hold of that verse? The secret things, the mysteries that God has not revealed to us, whatever that might be, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed, what God wants us to know, belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the works of this law. If you want to accomplish all that God has you here to accomplish, you have to have all that God has for you. Things that we must know. The Bible is the very words of God. Do not let anybody talk you out of that belief. Do not accept anything short of that. The Bible, God wants us to know that the Bible, He has preserved it. Heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall never pass away. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If God would have us to live by every word, He has to have preserved every word. And do not let Satan blind you through the fact that we have the very words of God.
And every word that we find in this Bible is something that God has revealed to us, and we must learn it. We must know it. The Bible is God's word. God has a plan for salvation. It's the only way anyone's going to get saved. God has a plan for salvation, for biblical baptism, for biblical church membership, and it's for all, and we need to know that. No one is exempt from being part of the church. It's what God designed for this New Testament church age. It was a mystery in the Old Testament, but right now we are living in it. Jesus Christ established it, and he gave us our marching orders throughout the church age. And we're accountable for what he has revealed to us. We are to be the light of the world. This parable, this lit candle. When the candle's lit, it's expected to give light. Let your light so shine before men. Let the secret things be kept by God and focus on that which he has revealed to us to know. If we'll do that, can I tell you, that's a tremendous help. Stop trying to know the things that you can't know. You just don't have the capacity. Stop trying to find out what God does not want you to know right now. There's a reason he has not revealed it to you. Just trust in him. But that which he has revealed, do all you can do to know all that God wants you and has for you to know. What a way to live life in this New Testament church age. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Wow. Where you at this morning? Have you been trying to figure out and know things that you can't know? Have you been stuck on trying to know things that God does not want you to know? That'll hinder you from doing what you should be doing, and that is learning all that God has for you to learn. Knowing all that God has for you to know and applying it to your life. Today it might be salvation. God's plan is the only plan. After salvation, God has a first step, and that's baptism. Then God has a church that he wants to plant you in. If you know that, then you ought to do that. Let's learn all that God would have us learn. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of this parable. And I trust that, Lord, as I have presented it the best of my ability, I pray that you would use what has been preached now to penetrate the hearts and the minds of the people, helping them to have this light and this understanding that they can focus on the things that you'd have them to focus on and receive that and know that which can be known. I pray, God, that there's decisions that need to be made right now, that they would make those decisions before it's eternally too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.